Walking through a series called Streetwise. And, you know, the rationale for that title is real simple. As believers, God's Word teaches us not just theory, not just something that's for the classroom or the auditorium, but what it teaches us and what it tells us is how to live the Christian life every day. When we're outside of this place, when we're in the real world, when we're dealing with real issues. And so today we take one more step in that process and we look at authentic Christianity. And, you know, as we do that, we just need to realize that it's not about what we do. It's about what God does. And so let's reach out and cross the aisles, hold hands together, and I want us to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts and to teach us and to challenge us from His Word. You know, anytime you get in God's presence, it's a holy moment. Anytime you open His book, this is God speaking to us. And He is words for us. He has wisdom for us. And let's just pray today that we'll get it, that we won't miss it, that what He wants to say to us. I mean, you know, think about it. Out of all places that you could be today, God wanted you here. Out of all time in all of history, God made your life for these days. And out of this moment, what does God want for you? He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to hear from Him. And so let's just pray that we would do that today. Father, as we bow before You, we just thank You for Your amazing love for us. That love found the richest and most powerful expression in the person of Jesus, who came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died for our sins on the cross. He was buried in a tomb and He was raised from the dead. And today He lives forevermore. The Son of God, the Savior of the world. And He lives within our hearts. And as believers today, as we come before You, Lord, we want to please You and we want to honor Your name and we want to live for You. We want our lives to be anything but false or fake or less than genuine. Lord, we want to be authentic followers of Jesus. So use Your Word today to teach us and to shape us, to mold our lives into the image of Jesus, so that when we walk out of these doors, when we walk out of the classroom, out of this place and into a real life, real world, that we'll know how to live, that we'll know how to walk, so that people will see Jesus in us, so that people will know that the hope and the life that we're looking for is all found in Jesus. And God, I just pray today that You would speak loudly and boldly to our hearts today. Lord, there are people in this room that brought a lot of baggage with them today, a lot of stuff going on, and it may be that this stuff is so loud and so strong that it has their attention even in this moment, and I pray for just a few moments that You'll help them see through all the struggles and all the trials and all the pain and all the stuff that they brought with them and see the truth of Your Word, and may today truly be a day when we hear Your voice. And for those that are here that don't know You, may today be the greatest day of their life when they come to know You as their personal Savior and Lord. And for those of us who do, make this another transforming moment where we're made to look like Jesus. Lord, if there's sin in our life right now, we confess it and ask for Your forgiveness and cleansing. Lord, if there's anything in our lives that we're holding on to that we need to let go of, Lord, we pray You'll show us so that we can repent and let go and allow You to have Your way in us. And Lord, as this service comes to a close and after we listen to Your Word, make it clear what we need to do in response to Your call in our life so that You may be honored, that You may be glorified. That's our passion. That's our desire. We give You praise today. And we ask all these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. As you find your seats, I want you to make your way in your Bibles to James chapter 1. And we're just kind of walking through this book, and we're going to walk through this passage this morning. And I just want you to keep in mind that this is the brother of our Lord who wasn't a believer when Jesus lived on this earth. And in fact, we learned in the very first message that James even thought that Jesus may have at some point lost his mind, really didn't even understand what was going on in his own life. And then after his death, burial, and resurrection, the Lord made a post-resurrection appearance to James, and his life was changed. He became a believer and a follower of Jesus, a leader in the church, And that's why this book bears his name. And so I want to read some verses, and we're going to walk through those this morning, and we're going to talk about authentic Christianity. I mean, how to be a genuine, authentic believer. And just so with that in mind, I want you to listen to these words. James chapter 1, beginning down in verse 19, he says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." I mean, those are powerful words. I mean, really life-changing words. And they speak about living an authentic Christian life. Let me just kind of set this up by using this baseball. One of the things that's really a blessing in being a pastor is getting to meet people, and they give you occasionally gifts that are really special, really, really encouraging. This is a baseball that's signed by John Smoltz. Now, John Smoltz has pictured his entire baseball career with the Atlanta Braves, and he's had a phenomenal career. 1996, won the Cy Young Award. 1992, he got his first World Series win against the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Braves went on to lose that series in 6 games. Some of you may remember that well. And then in 1995, he pitched a game again in the World Series, okay? And it didn't have, you know, the most spectacular performance, but the Braves went on to win that World Series in 1995, their only world championship. In fact, that made the Braves the only franchise in Major League Baseball history to win a world championship in 3 different cities. Boston, 1914, Milwaukee, 1957, and in 1995 in Atlanta. And so this is no ordinary baseball. I mean, this is a John Smoltz baseball. And to tell you the truth, this is a World Series baseball, okay? Pretty cool, isn't it? And to be honest with you, this baseball is very similar to the baseball they used in the World Series. Isn't that impressive? It's very similar, except for that logo right there and the fact that it doesn't say World Series baseball on it, but it does have John Smoltz's signature on it. That was kind of disappointing, isn't it? It's kind of flat, isn't it? You kind of go, So, let me tell you, that's exactly what the world says when it sees a believer that claims that they know Jesus, but they live an inauthentic Christian life. When they literally talk the talk all the time, but they never walk the walk, they don't practice what they preach. The fact is, we live an inauthentic Christian life. When James speaks in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, he talks a lot about that and begins to deal with the issue that's related to being an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible is full of comments that challenge us to be authentic in our faith. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it's one of my favorite sections in the scripture. This is the Apostle John late in his life, the only, at this point, the last living apostle. And he's speaking to the churches in Asia Minor, and he's writing this word of encouragement. He says this. He says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we obey his commandments, if we keep his commandments." And in John chapter 15, verse 8, this is a great chapter where he talks about being the vine and the branches. And in John 15, verse 8, John says this, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The truth is, There are a lot of people today, especially in our own country, who claim to be believers, but their life doesn't match their lips. Their confession and their lifestyle don't add up. It's inauthentic, ingenuine Christian life. Now, what we need to get to is authentic Christianity, and the question is, how do we get there? That's really the big question today. How do we get to authentic Christianity? And James helps us get there. And how he does that, he starts in verse 18, setting up his argument of verse 19 through 25. Listen to this. In verse 18, he says, talking about God, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And it's almost like as Jane begins to discuss this and he puts this into verse 18, it sparks his thought and he travels down this path giving us the answers to how to live an authentic Christian life. He uses this term, this expression, word of truth, and how we're birthed into the Christian life through the word of truth. And he dives into this whole area of being an authentic believer because of that one of expression. And basically what he tells us is, he tells us there's a two-fold process or two-step process to authentic Christian living. And it's all involved with the word of truth. The first thing we do is we take it in. And the second thing that we do is we live it out. And so let's just take those two today and let's just walk through this passage and learn about them. Down in verse 19, he says this. This is how we take it in. He said, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Every person should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." He's just telling us how. He's just giving us the answer. How do you take in the word of God? And he says, you know, the first thing that we need to do is that we need to be quick to hear. If there's one indisputable fact among human beings today is that we have a hard time listening. I don't know if you do, but I know I do. I know you never get distracted on Sunday morning. I know that you never daydream. You never drift during a message. You're always intently hanging on every word. You're on the edge of your seat. You practically memorize the message so that when you leave here, someone would ask you about it, you could almost verbatim give the message. The fact is, we're not good listeners, are we? And there's some reasons for that. Let me just give you three that come to mind. Number one, we're too busy. We're too busy. We've got to have something going all the time. We've got to have things happening. And when I was a kid, there's a very, very simple expression that I learned about crossing the street that I think helps us learn how to listen. And it is simply stop, look, and listen. And my parents went over and over that in my head. When you go to school, they teach you, all right, before you cross the street, you stop, you look, you listen. If we're going to be good listeners, we need to slow down and stop the busyness. We need to look and we need to listen. Second reason I think that we have a hard time listening is we're usually multitasking. And we pride ourselves on this, that we can do more than one thing at a time. And so even when we're reading the word, we've got the radio on, the television on, we got something going on because we're multitasking. We're doing more than one thing at a time and showing how talented we are. But the fact is we listen better when we're focused in on one voice. And so we need to get quiet for a moment. Third thing I think we learn is this, is that we're easily distracted. Easily distracted. And that's so easy in an auditorium like this to get distracted. That's why if I'm ever not speaking, I don't sit in the back. And the reason I don't sit in the back is because there's too much that happens between me and the speaker for me to listen. If somebody moves, I got to watch them. I mean, people move all the time, but if they move in the auditorium, I don't know what it is about my eyes, but I've got to go watch them. They're just moving, okay? If somebody's going to the bathroom, I've got to watch him walk across the auditorium. Like, that's interesting. That's not really interesting, but I get distracted. If it starts raining and you hear the rain falling on the roof, you go, oh man, it's raining. Like, I haven't seen it rain before. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? We are easily distracted. So how do we deal with that? Well, we need to find a place and we need to find a time that'll help us to focus. We need to find a place and a time when we're all by ourselves and we can spend time with God and actually listen to the word of God. But this is what he tells us. He tells us if we're going to take in the word of God, if our lives are going to be authentic, if we're going to be authentic believers and not just pretenders, if we're not going to be just people that have a lot of conversation, a lot of talk, and actually live out the faith, the first thing we've got to learn to do is we've got to be quick to listen to the word of God. And that's why every single Sunday and every single Wednesday and whenever we have Bible study, we're walking through passages of the scripture because we want to know what the Bible has to say. We want to make known the word of God. We want to make this clear so that it's easy to understand and everyone can obey the word. It's the only way for us to be authentic. The second thing he tells us, though, and I'm moving quickly, but we're going to sum up this first section in just a minute. Step one, be quick to hear. Step two, be slow to speak. Now, the whole reference for this is kind of found in the historical study of James in the local church. Most churches in those days were very unstructured and unorganized. And even when they would have gatherings, they would encourage participation from the crowd, which would oftentimes lend itself to someone interrupting the speaker, the teacher. And oftentimes their interruption would be very, very quick. They wouldn't have given it much thought. And so they're just easily speaking out and they're just making a statement. And so James is trying to correct that by saying, listen, we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. When we take that and apply it to our day, this is simply what he's telling us. He's telling us that we need to be ready to put our mind in gear before we put our mouth in gear. We need to be quick to hear, but slow to speak. I like the way some rabbis have put it. It says this, men have two ears but one tongue, that they should hear more than they speak. The ears are always open and ever ready to receive instruction, but the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in and to keep it in proper bounds. I mean, the fact is, if we're going to be authentic believers, what he's telling us is if we're going to take in the Word of God, the first thing we need to do is we need to be quick to listen. The second is we need to be slow to speak. And the truth is, that's found all through Scripture. Let me just read you some verses. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Good word. Matthew 12:36-37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. And Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. He's telling us, all right? If you're going to take in the Word of God and you're going to live an authentic Christian life, the first thing to realize is you need to be quick to hear. We need to be good listeners to the Word of God and listen for the voice of God as it speaks to our heart. We need to be slow to speak. We need to make sure that before we put our mouth in gear, we need to put our mind in gear. We need to know what God's Word says concerning our own conversation. And then the third thing he tells us is this. We need to be slow to anger. Now, I think when you start thinking about this, it really makes sense. You see, if we become spiritual dyslexics, in other words, we become slow to hear and quick to speak, that can lead to frustration, which easily leads to anger. And what the Bible tells us concerning anger is this. Look in verse 20. He says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires." In other words, he's saying there are no excuses for this kind of anger, because most of the time when we fall into anger, we don't fall into anger and not sin. I mean, there's a way to do that, but most of us don't capture that. When we get angry, we sin. And so he tells us that, you know what, this kind of anger, there's no excuses for it, because it does not produce the righteousness that God requires. In other words, let me read you some more verses. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes the city. Now let's put this together. What is he telling us? He says, if you don't take in God's word by being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, there is no way you're going to live out the Christian life. I mean, an authentic Christian life is something that you will only see in someone else if this isn't a part of who you are. Now, how do we change that? I mean, if we're sitting here and we're thinking, okay, well, you know what? I'm not real good at that. I don't listen real well. I speak real quick, and I you know, easily blow my top and lose control of my anger. I mean, how do I change that? Once you look down in verse 21, he tells us, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He gives us a two-step process. Number one, we need to clean house. You know what he tells us about these things? We start thinking about someone who's not quick to hear, who is quick to speak, who is quick to get angry. We kind of say, you know, it's not really that big a deal. I mean, not listening, not a good listener. Most people aren't good listeners. People speak before they think. I mean, that happens all the time. It's not a really big deal. And people get angry. I mean, people get angry all the time. We see it all the time. And more we see it exhibited on television in these real-life shows, these shows like Survivor and other things. We see people's anger. So, I mean, it really is common. Do you know what he does with that? Look in verse 21 again. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. You know what he's telling us? He tells us the refusal to hear, the sinful speaking, and a short fuse. He uses terms like filthiness and wickedness to describe those things. He's saying those aren't casual sins. Those aren't just a little, it's not just a little problem here. James is saying, if you want to receive the implanted word, you know what you need to do? The first thing is you need to clean house. And this refusal to hear, this unwillingness to listen to God's word, this being quick to speak, to engage in sinful language, you haven't really thought through what God would have you say, and becoming angry, that's wicked and that's filthy. Get rid of it. The second thing he tells us is this. We need to accept the wisdom of the word. He says, and with meekness receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So this is a great expression. He's just telling us that with a humble heart, we receive God's word. We need to accept it as truth. I mean, this is God's book. I don't know about you, that just blows my mind every day when I pick up this book and begin to read, and you have your, you know, you have your Bible study time, and you begin to study, and you think, man, this is God's word. This isn't something to be debated, argued with. It is the truth. And with a humble heart, I need to accept it and live it with all of my life so that I can please and honor the name of Jesus. He says that, in other words, if you're going to take in the word and live an authentic Christian life, then something needs to change about you. What needs to change is you need to become slow. You need to become quick to hear. I mean, where you're ready and willing to receive what God's word says. I mean, I want to know what God's word says, and I want to live God's word because I have a passion to please the Lord. And I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to make sure that what I say, what comes out of my lips, is in agreement with God's word, because this is the truth, not my own opinion or not my own verdict of the situation, but what God has to say. And then you know what? Because I am quick to hear and slow to speak, I'm going to pray that God will guard my heart so that I will not become angry and fall into sin. Because an angry person, an angry life, does not bring about the righteousness which God desires. That's what I need to do. I need to take it in. And then he tells us this. Not only do you need to take in the word of God, if you're going to live an authentic Christian life, then you need to live it out. Now, don't you look down in verse 22 and follow and listen to what he says. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, bottom line is nobody wants to be a hypocrite. Hypocrite means to be an actor, a play a part and play a role. But the truth is, in the world of Christianity, in quotations, there are a lot of actors. There are a lot of people who are just playing a part. We're just performing a role. And Jesus had a lot to say to hypocrites. He condemned them greatly. Well, what he's telling us in this verse is don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by just being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. You see, the truth is, the line between a saint and a sinner is abundantly clear in this passage. Listen to verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I mean, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? He said, don't be deceived. I mean, it's a good thing to hear the word. You need to hear the word. But if you're a hearer only, it's empty. And it reveals exactly who you are. And let me just read you some more verses. There's not going to be on the screen. Just write these down. 1 John again, chapter 3, verse 10. He says this. John writes, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. He says, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling, choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. In other words, what Peter and John are both saying is this. If you're truly a believer, then your life will reveal your faith or your lack of it. In other words, what's in your heart is going to come out of your life. And if the word of God is implanted in you, then it's going to change you. It is literally going to change the way you live. And what he's given us this admonition, not to put on a front, not to put on an act, not to just do something out of obligation, but out of truly who we are. We are to live out our faith. And so what he's telling us is, as a believer, we need to live live out our life revealing exactly the character of our heart, that we have been changed by the person of Jesus. And you say, well, what happens to a believer who sins? What happens to a person who falls into sin? Do you believe that somebody can sin who's a believer? Absolutely. The Bible makes it very clear that we sin. But you know what? When we do sin, it's out of character for those who know Jesus. In fact, let me take you on a little tour. Romans chapter 7. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and make your way to Romans 7. Just put your finger here. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. Look down in verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul writing. And he's making a confession. Listen to his own confession. Romans chapter 7, beginning down in verse 15. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So, now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. And you know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, listen. He's saying the very same thing that James is saying in James chapter 1. He's saying, listen, when we live out our faith, this is not an act. And when we fall into sin, it's in direct contradiction to who we are as believers. What he's challenged us to do is this: don't be deceived. If all you do is hear the word and walk out the door and live a life that's filled with sin with no conviction on your own, what you really need to do is you need to be born again, because if the word of God is in you, it's going to change you. And when it changes you, you're to live out your faith, living a life that pleases and honors the Lord. And when you sin, you will know that that's contrary to who you are. That's not in keeping with the character of God who lives in you. Now he goes on, he says, let me just give you two illustrations. And he gives us an illustration about a man who looks at himself in the mirror and he walks away and he completely forgets what he looks like. And then he uses the illustration of a man who continually looks in the mirror and he understands who he is and who God is. And just call him the forgetful and the faithful. Look, if you will, in verse 23. He says, for if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Now, I've been in this position before. My dad was actually in the hospital with his open heart surgery a few weeks ago. I spent the night, and I don't know what you look like when you wake up in the morning, but I don't look like this. I don't wake up, you know, fully dressed, hair in place. And when you have as little hair as I do, you've got to get every hair in the right place just to, you know, try to cover up something. And so anyway, I slept in that chair that kind of folds out into a makeshift bed, which is very, very uncomfortable. And even though you pretend it's not, it really is. And we slept all night, got up, you know, the next morning. And I was thinking, man, you know what? I really need some more sleep, but I really want something to eat. And I walked over to the mirror in my dad's room, and man, it was like, there's no way I'm leaving this room looking like that. And so, you know, I went in his bathroom and cleaned up, took a shower, came back, and I was brushing my teeth. And while I was brushing my teeth, I was actually talking to my dad. He was waking up, getting comfortable, and trying to make sure he was all right. So I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm talking to him, really not paying attention. Turn around, you know, rinse my mouth out, and say, hey, I'm going to get something to eat. And so I walk out the door, and just didn't dawn on me. I didn't look back in the mirror again. I walk out the door, I'm walking down the hall, and I notice everybody's just kind of looking at me, and they get this kind of inquisitive, strange look on their face. And I was like, I mean, I don't look really strange, do I? I mean, I know this isn't, you know, my clothes are a little wrinkled because I slept in the chair and all that, but I mean, it really isn't that bad, is it? I get on the elevator, and there's a guy on the elevator, and he keeps looking over at me, just doing that, you know, and I'm like, man, what is the deal? I mean, everybody's looking at him, he's kind of weird. And I felt him, yeah, sprayed my hair, combed my hair, yeah, I'm all right. And get down the kitchen, and I'm walking through the kitchen, and everybody's just kind of doing that double take at you. You ever been in that position, and you're just feeling really weird? And walk through the line, and Letty's, you know, ringing me up, and she's just looking at me with this, ah. And I was like, what is the deal? I get my food, I walk all the way back to my dad's room, and I set my tray, I walk to the mirror, and I have toothpaste all over my goatee. Because I didn't look back in the mirror. Now, they probably thought that I was an idiot. I thought I was an idiot. What James says, if you look in the mirror of God's word and you walk away, you're making a huge mistake because you'll forget exactly what you look like. In fact, there's three things I think he reveals to us about this. Number one is this, examining the word of truth is good. I mean, hearing the word of God and listening to it is good, but it's empty if that's all you do. I mean, if that's all that happens to you, is that you just hear the word, then it's empty. It's absolutely empty. If you come to church and sit in church and hear a message, go to Bible study, hear a message, walk out the door and live your life as if you'd never heard it, then your hearing is absolutely empty. There's nothing to it. Second thing he tells us about the forgetful is when you walk away from the word of God, it's difficult. In fact, and to use a stronger word, it's impossible to walk in the way of the word. You see, that's one of the huge mistakes this person makes is he looks into this book and he sees it like a mirror. And by the way, their mirrors weren't like our mirrors. It was just polished metal. And he examines himself and he sees the true image of who he is, the true image of who God is. And then he walks away from it. That is a huge mistake. But yet, you know what? That is what a lot of people do. In fact, last Sunday when I was driving home, I there was another church getting out. And I was sitting in traffic. And I watch this guy come out of church, and he's got his Bible, and he's got his suit on. And I'm not being condemning, but this is just what most people do. He's been in church. He's been opening the Word. He's been looking into the mirror of God's Word, seeing himself for who he is, God for who he is. When he walked out the door, he took his coat off, came to the back of his car, hit his little button. The back of the car pops up, takes his coat off, lays in the back, takes his Bible, chunks it in the trunk. And I thought, you know, that's where that Bible stays for most people until next Sunday. He just walked away from the Word. When you walk away from the Word, there is no way, it is utterly impossible for you to walk in the way of the Word. Third thing he tells us is this. If the Word of truth has not changed you, it's not in you. I mean, if your life has not been radically, dramatically changed by meeting Jesus, and it's not in you, because this word has power. It is the living word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword. That's what the scripture tells us. And then he goes on to paint another picture, not just the forgetful, but the faithful. Look down, if you will, in verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Three things we learn about the faithful man. Number one, he has a close, continuing look into God's word and realizes it's not only helpful, but also necessary for true spiritual insight. You know, the word he uses there for the word look is totally different. It's a word that really means to bend over and to look closely at. It's actually the same word that was used of Peter and of Mary when they go to the tomb of Jesus and they look inside the tomb and closely examine that Jesus is no longer there. What he's telling us is this guy is a guy who continually is looking into the Word of God and continually resting in the Word of God, continually looking in the mirror and seeing exactly who he is and who God is. Number two, a faithful look prevents forgetfulness. See, it's difficult to forget who you are, who God is, when you're always looking in the mirror. And number three, the Word of God is a mirror that helps us to see us in our sin, and God in his holiness, so that we can come to saving faith and so that we can live a life that looks like Jesus. There are two things he tells us are kind of the fruit of this kind of life when we continually look in the Word and live it out. Number one, it may sound strange, it even sounds like a strange impossibility, but taking in the Word of God and living it out, that is the law, brings freedom. Jesus made it clear, didn't he? He said, when you come to me, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. There's freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in Jesus. Freed from the shackles of sin, freed to live a life holy, pleasing to God. Number two, he tells us that there's a blessing. At the end, he says, person who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he'll be blessed in his doing. He's basically telling us this, you know what? The Christian life is not the easiest, but it is always the best when it's lived for Jesus. So what's the path to authentic Christian living? It's real simple. It's just a two-step process. Take in the Word of God. It radically changes who we are. And then we just live that out. Every single day, living that out for Jesus. You know, start thinking about this and start thinking about what James is encountering and why he would talk about this. But you know what? When Jesus was here, and there were followers of Jesus, there were crowds of people that followed Jesus, and now James is seeing those same people. Jesus is gone, and they're living their life like they lived before, and yet they're still claiming to be in Christ, and he's saying, no, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. We need to live an authentic Christian life, and an authentic Christian life looks like this. We take in God's word, it changes who we are, and then we live out God's word so the world can see Jesus. That's an authentic Christian life. You know, it's not very impressive to say this is a baseball that is very similar to a baseball they used in the World Series. Nobody's going to give you very much for that baseball. And I can tell you this, it's not very impressive to say I'm a person who is very similar to a person who believes in Jesus. Nobody's going to give you very much for that kind of life. The life that God calls us to is authentic. Changed by God's power, lived out in God's power, and lived for God's glory. And that's the life that he calls us to. So that every day, whether we're here or at work or at home, we're living for Jesus. We look like Jesus. We sound like Jesus. Because we are alive in Jesus. Let's stand together and pray.